You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you're joining us today, either live or maybe later on our website. And so it's a joy to be on the air with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I will be joined by a couple of our radio team members in just a few moments. And it's nice out there today, kind of warmer than it's been in Florida. And I don't know where you are today. It might be cold where you are because we've been having a cold winter. Cedric, we've been having even a cold winter for us here in Florida, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think we're supposed to have another cold spell here next week. I'm going to have to check.
Well, and for us, a cold spell is 40s or 50s, isn't it? I mean, maybe touch down to 37, 38. And I tell you, up north, they are really suffering. My kids in Indiana have had some horrible weather to drive through, and as far as snow and ice, but also the temperatures just clear way down, you know? Crazy time. So we don't have that. You've got shirt sleeves on, me too, with no coats or anything today. But anyway, we're glad to live in Florida, I guess.
Says Wednesday night, Thursday morning, the low will be 42 for the Tampa area. So that's the coldest it's going to get in the foreseeable future.
So that's cold for us, not cold for anybody else in other areas. So anyway, but we come to you from Clearwater, Florida, every Sunday afternoon live on the station. And we're in our seventh year being on this station and bringing a live radio show your direction each week. We also have the shows placed on our website, which is www.beaconofhopeministries. And that ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com. And those are there usually by Monday or at the latest Tuesday following a show. So we have a lot of them. And I recently found out from our webmaster, Maxine, up in Georgia, there's like 280 shows on the website, which is crazy. That's a whole lot of listening. So we encourage you to tell friends and family about the ministry at Beacon of Hope through our radio outreach. And a good way to tell them about it is say, hey, here's where to go to listen to a show. And it's just full of the Word of God. Some great teaching time and chatting about God and how wonderful He is, and just some things that we're learning about Him. And then, of course, great contemporary music. There's always a part of the show and songs that will really bless you. So if you go to our website after a show, then you can actually rewind and play a song as many times as you want if it's really getting to you. So we thank God for the great music and all the wonderful insight and wisdom from our radio team members. They are always great, and we look forward to them. There's like eight of them that take turns and share their time on Sunday afternoon with me on the show. So we look forward to a great day, and Nathan will be joining us in a few moments. And then later, Carol will be joining us from Georgia. So that's the itinerary for today. God is moving in our services. We had a mighty day today. I won't talk about that until we get Nathan on the air. But if you are in the Tampa Bay area and would like to join us for service, we would love to have you visit. And if you have your own local church you go to, absolutely go. We don't try to take people away from any other ministry at all. But if you're not going to some ministry, some church, and want to come and visit, we welcome you. And we are located now in a new location since Labor Day. We moved into our new location at the corner of Drew and 19 in Clearwater. It is a little difficult to find, I'm finding. So the best thing to do is go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and look at the directions there, and that will help you understand where it is. It's basically behind the Toyota dealership at the corner of Drew and 19. It's a little kind of crazy getting back in there. So we had some new people today that drove around a couple times, made the loop before they found it. So that is not unusual. So we welcome you to come and join us for service. Sunday mornings are at 10:30, and Wednesday night is Bible study, and it starts at 7. And the whole idea of Bible study is to bring your Bible, your notebook, come into an interactive time in the Word of God. Not only is there teaching, but we really welcome your comments and your questions. And we get a lot of good discussions going. So that's on Wednesday night every week at Beacon of Hope, starting at 7 o'clock, out by 8:30. And we also have a prayer meeting every week, and it starts at 6:15 on Wednesday nights. So we welcome you to that prayer meeting also. A lot going on, and not the least of which is this live radio show every Sunday, which we just absolutely love doing and bringing you the Word of God. Some of you out there are probably going through some difficult times in your life. That's typical because we live in a fast-paced world. We live in a time when everything's happening at once all the time. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but it just seems to me like we can't hardly go through a day, Cedric, without a gunshot somewhere. It doesn't seem that way in America now.
I know. I just turned the news on.
It's just crazy, isn't it? And I don't know. Is there something today, too?
They were just showing something. I don't know if it's old, but yeah, they were just showing
something. Who knows? I mean, there was just a school thing again a couple days ago. And it's just to the point. I mean, people need God. I mean, so many people are so confused, and kids growing up in a rough time, you know? It's just the gunshots and all of that, it's just very, very distressing. And it's a scary place to be, you know? I found myself the other day going into a movie with my sister and didn't take my phone,
right?
You know, because of the incident that we had right here in Tampa Bay last week, you know, about texting. So, I mean, I just left it in the car. You know, it's not worth it, you know?
Right.
They're just... So, you know, there's never been a time, it seems to me, Cedric, that people have needed God more than they do now.
Yes.
You know, because our schools are, you know, just places are of, it's not safe anymore. So much going on. You have a little daughter. I have little grandkids. And, you know, we don't want them to grow up in that kind of a fear, you know, about where they go. But times have changed. So it's time for people to pray and to find God and to seek God. You know, seek help if you have, you know, counseling issues, which brings me, all of that brings me to our new counseling ministry at Beacon of Hope. I've been doing counseling along with Connie. She and I have for years, but we are expanding, and we've added a licensed counselor to the staff. Her name is Angel. And that's a great name for a counselor, right? An angel that comes into your life. How about that?
Very fitting.
Very fitting, yes. And you can reach her for appointments. Don't call me. Call her, 727-501-6557. And she takes insurances, and she's very, very reasonably priced and fully licensed in the state of Florida. So she's actually working on her doctorate right now, and that will be completed in a few months. So we welcome Angel to the staff at Beacon of Hope. And if you need a counselor, then please, by all means, contact her. And you can contact her at angel@bohmglobal.com. So that's a good way to reach her, or by the phone. And I'll give you her phone number one more time, 727-501-6557, and you can call Angel for an appointment, and she has an office in our new facility. So any of you out there that need that kind of assistance, please reach out and get help if you've got some issues going on, because we want to see a safe year here in our area and, of course, around the world. We really are beginning to pray for the Olympics, and there's a lot going on there, isn't there, Cedric,
yeah,
in the news?
That.
Oh, kind of crazy, isn't it? So we don't know what's going to happen there and the threats, but we just need to be praying for the safety of all the Olympians and all the visitors that go, and we do that. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together on the radio show today. We thank you, Lord, that you always give us the words to say. You guide and direct our conversation, and you bring us to a new realization of who you are. Lord, we thank you for the music. Let today be a great day for each of our listeners. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Let's begin with the Michael W. Smith song, Love It, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Praise God. Oh, old hymn of the church, and they've added a lot to it, Michael has, and it's wonderful. Love that song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. Whatever you're going through today, dear one, it's Jesus that you have to take your stand. Stand on what he says about you and how much he loves you. Let's go to Matthew 6, and we're going to start with verse 33. This is a famous verse in the Bible. I say famous because it is often quoted. And Jesus said these words in Matthew 6:33. And he says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first his kingdom. In these three chapters of Matthew that we've been teaching the last few weeks, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we see Jesus talking over and over again about where our priorities are. And do we realize what it really means to follow Jesus? Do we understand the importance of the need to change behaviors that we have that don't glorify God, that maybe hurt other people? Jesus talks here about our priorities in Matthew 6. He talks about having a relationship with Almighty God that is simple. In fact, in Matthew 6, we find the Lord's Prayer. And we are all familiar with it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so forth. We know that prayer. That prayer is a very simple prayer about seeking God and really just presenting our daily needs before him. Give us this day our daily bread and all of those things that we are familiar with those sentences. And what they're talking about is that is forming that relationship with Almighty God where we are dependent on him for our daily needs, sometimes our hourly needs, or the things going on in our lives that just need God's hand to change some circumstances. Maybe heal our bodies. Maybe heal some hurt in our lives. We come to a place that we realize that we need God. We need that relationship with him all the time. And so I love these verses at the end of Matthew 6. Seek first his kingdom. And his kingdom, by the way, is really learning how to walk in right standing with God and peace and joy. I think a lot of people go through life, and maybe some of the people that we were just talking about a few minutes ago that do heinous things, you know, to people that shoot or cause all kinds of problems, domestic violence, whatever. It makes you wonder, do they really have any kind of a relationship with God to have done some of the things that they've done? Probably the answer is no. Because when we know God and how much he loves us, and we begin to get that down on the inside of us and realize that we're his children, you know, that he put us here for a reason, that we have a work to do on this earth while we're here. When we begin to realize that, then we don't want to intentionally harm people. We don't. Whether that be something like physical violence or whether it be something like the words that come from our mouths. Because the words that come from our mouths can be abusive also. And so I love this as Jesus finishes up in Matthew 6, and he goes right on in. He's still talking. We've divided it into chapters, but he's just talking, continuing to talk. And as we start Matthew 7, it says this, verse 1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And then it talks in verse 3 about looking at other people's faults, finding fault with people. And I'll read it in this translation, which is the NIV, and then I'm going to switch over to the Message Bible. In the NIV, it says right here, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. The speck from your brother's eye. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is how we pick and pick on people. And now I'm going to go to the Message Bible here before Nathan joins us. And I want to read a few verses here. These same verses in the Message Bible, but they say it in a way that really helps us understand the meaning behind this. Jesus says here in Matthew 7:1, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Let's say those again. Let me read those again in the Message Bible. Don't pick on people, okay? Jump on their failures or criticize their faults. I think we all do that. I mean, that's human nature just to pick on people. We live in a society right now where there's a lot of bullies. A lot of people that are picking on others and causing all kinds of problems in schools and in other places and picking, pick, that nitpicky thing and jumping on people's failures and criticizing their faults. Jesus says, don't do that unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Well, of course, none of us want that treatment. We don't want to be picked on. We don't want to be criticized. We don't want to be jumped on for our failures. And then he goes on to say that critical spirit. So Jesus calls these three things a critical spirit. Picking on people, jumping on their failures, criticizing their faults. That kind of sounds like bullying and abusive behavior to me. Nathan is joining us right now. Nathan, we're in Matthew 7, and we're talking about that critical spirit where Jesus says, don't be judging others unless you want to be judged. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults. It's pretty easy to do all that, isn't it, Nathan?
Yes, it is.
I mean, seriously, don't a lot of us think that we just, you know, we can handle something or we can do something better than somebody else or whatever, right?
Right, exactly.
It's one of those things that I think that we all need to listen to and really make some changes in our lives. It's all about attitude here, you know, and we started talking about Matthew 6:33, where we seek first God. You know, we really seek God. And I think that's where a lot of problems start. People are really not seeking the Lord. Talk to me about that. What does that mean in your life, Nathan? What has it meant through the years in your life? You grew up a preacher's kid, didn't you? Like I did.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Well, one of the things that it makes me think about, if we're seeking God first, if we're seeking God in his kingdom first, then we know it's not correct to criticize,
right,
to be critical of people, because God isn't.
Right, he's not.
He is
no.
Because if he was, we'd all be lost.
Well, absolutely we would. Absolutely. No, God does not nitpick us, does he?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he shows us in his word how to behave and what is right and what is wrong. And we just did a show a couple weeks ago on what is right from Matthew 5. You know, it was pretty strong that he gives us instruction in the word how to behave. And so many people don't have any clue on how to behave, right?
Well, because they ignore his word.
There you go. Right there. It's true.
If you're in the word, then you learn to know what his will is and what his desire is for us, for our nature to be.
Right.
And what he wants to work on us and take out of us, how he wants to change us.
Absolutely. And it is about allowing him to change us. And don't you think that is a lesson that a lot of people have a hard time grasping?
Well, a lot of people don't want to be changed. You know, changes are hard for people.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, because we get comfortable with being the way we are.
Right, I agree.
And it's our comfort zone.
Right.
Because what we know. And when God changes us, he changes us into something that we really don't know.
Right.
And the unknown sometimes is frightening.
It is, yes. Yeah, and we get to a point that we, like, who do you think you are telling me what to do, you know, type thing. You know, that kind of a defensive attitude if someone tries to say, wait a minute, you should have handled that, or maybe you could have handled that situation a little differently, you know?
Exactly.
But yet Jesus has some bold statements here, Nathan, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He doesn't mince words at all.
No, he doesn't.
You know, he's not afraid to say, wait a minute. That's not the way to behave, you know?
That's right.
I mean, there are certain things. I mean, just like this, starting chapter 7 with don't pick on people, jump on their failures, and criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. I mean, come on. I think that is about as blatantly strong of a statement as you can make. Telling people, I mean, this is a code of behavior that we need to do.
Right, exactly. And I don't think there's anyone that really wants to be the one that's jumped on or criticized, you know, or picked on.
Right.
No one wants to be that person.
Right.
So therefore, you know, when he says don't pick on people or jump on their failures or criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment.
Right.
You realize, you know, I don't think there's anybody out there that wants that treatment.
No, but there's an awful lot of people that think it's their destiny or their right to do that.
Or their job.
Their job, yeah. This is like they're got, you know, some legal authority from heaven that they're supposed to judge people for who they are or the color of their skin or sexual orientation or whatever. There's so many people out there that are so judgmental.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have run across a few of those in our day.
A few.
Right?
A few. Okay.
Yeah, we have.
Yes, we have.
I mean, you know, we have all talked about this, and people that have met you know that you are a brother of color. And you are a beautiful black man, beautiful African-American man, right?
Right.
And, you know, we tease that you and I are triplets, actually, along with Yvette, one of our other people that's got a beautiful black skin. But, you know, there are people that even a few years back, we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day, and there's so many people that have been so persecuted and treated horribly because of the color of their skin, for heaven's sake.
Exactly.
You know, and you growing up, in your growing up years, I'm sure you received some of that.
Yes, I did.
You know, and instead of getting to know you, who you are, Nathan the person, Nathan the amazing keyboard player and writer of wonderful anointed music, and Nathan the sweet, kind, gentle grandpa, I mean, in years past, people have picked and picked at you, have they not?
Oh, yeah.
Part of it is because you're in the ministry, and they have picked and picked at me all through years, too. Part of it is that we recognize that and acknowledge that people in the ministry are going to be persecuted. Jesus said, when that happens, rejoice, jump for joy, be happy, you know, because the angels in heaven are happy when, you know, all that happens. So, you know, even though we have had times in our lives that have been extremely difficult, people being judgmental, our response to that is not to be judgmental back.
No, no, not an eye for an eye or tooth for tooth in that situation.
Right.
It's to be sweet, kind, and lovely.
Well, I take us back to Matthew 5 here, and I want your comment on this, starting with verse 38. Jesus says this. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, since you brought it up. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. These are Jesus' words. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. Okay? And in this series, we've been talking about the four G's, living generously and graciously towards people, being genuine and being godly, these four G's. And Jesus is saying, be generous with people, even when they say and do the wrong thing. Nathan, help me with that. Talk to me about that.
Well, just as Jesus said, you know, if someone takes you to court and sues you for your shirt, wrap your coat up and make a present of it to them, you know.
Yeah.
That's a difficult thing.
Woo!
Our natural response to someone that comes against us is to go be against them.
Or, yeah. And tell 140 of our closest friends all about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Put it on Facebook. Right. Absolutely. Tweet it out there somewhere,
tweet
you know?
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus, he proposed a whole new lifestyle that is so foreign and so different than what we would like to be. It's, you know, he said, this is the way it is. This is how you should be. It's like, wow.
It's fascinating, isn't it, that he's so direct and so in our face in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, don't you think? I mean, not mincing words. He's not saying, well, y'all just, you know, I love you. You're okay. Everything's fine. Love you, see you. It's not like that, is it?
No, it's not.
He's giving us a code of conduct. You know, I was never in the military, but I know people who were, and there's been, you know, there's a certain code of conduct when you go into the military, you know, the way you're supposed to behave. And, you know, when they say, okay, whatever they do, present arms or whatever they do, when they call you to the line for inspection or whatever, everybody's got to do what they're told to do. There's no, like, cutting people slack. I didn't feel like it today. I won't go to inspection. It doesn't work that way in the military, does it?
No, it doesn't.
But in our lives, it seems like we kind of think, oh, well, I just don't have to deal with this attitude of mine because, after all, Susie so-and-so did this to me, so I'm okay if I hate her. I hate her, and I'm telling everybody, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, this is radical Christian behavior, Nathan, and unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't live it.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I've been in a lot of churches growing up, went to a lot of different services, and
Carol's holding.
You don't hear it preached that often. That is supposed to not retaliate.
Right. No. No, you don't. No. I mean, human nature wants to retaliate. Human nature wants to get even. Carol, you're on the line. Talk to us about all this. Are you listening to our conversation?
Well, according to the Reverend T.D. Jakes,
okay,
it's all about healthy compromise.
Healthy compromise. Okay, talk to us about that.
You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:13b says, be at peace among yourselves,
mm-hmm.
that no one renders evil to evil for anybody.
Amen.
But always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all. Reverend T.D. Jakes has a philosophy that I just love. It says, when people treat you badly and people malign you in any way that they can, basically what it says is, what good are they doing you? What good is coming to you from that kind of a relationship? So he says in his book, Maximize the Moment, he says, don't worry about people and the problems they have in their life. I say, let them go.
That's strong. What do you mean, let them go, Carol?
It says people who have used you and abused you won't be happy with your wanting to take control of your life. They've been in the driver's seat on this power trip, and they won't want to give it up.
Oh, my.
So I have seen him when he has talked this let them go theory, and he is dead serious about it. And when you stop and think about it, of what use to you in God's kingdom, if no other place in your life, are you when somebody maligns you, hurts you physically, emotionally, spiritually? You take your time and your thoughts off God, and you start trying to figure out, oh, my goodness, I've got to please Polly. You know, Pollyanna Pigtails or Little Joe Snot Blossom. I just got to because they're so important in my life. No, they're not.
Little Joe Snot Blossom. Now, there's a name. There's a name, Cedric. Little Joe Snot Blossom. But you know what, Carol? You're exactly right. We get caught up in social convention, you know, doing the nice thing and allowing people to behave badly in our lives. And what I hear you saying that Dr. Jakes says, and we do like T.D. Jakes, he's a man of God, when we are the recipient of a critical spirit, when we are the recipient of somebody maligning us, picking at us, and all of that, he is saying, don't keep yourself in harm's way. Is that what he's saying?
Basically, he's saying, don't keep yourself in harm's way and don't allow them to keep you from the blessings.
Amen.
In every part of your life that God has for you. You know, a long time ago, and I do mean a long time ago, actually, it was when I left, right before I left Florida. And I decided at that point in time, I will never give another second of my life to someone I don't choose to give it.
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of a radical-sounding statement. But I do not have to sit and banter with somebody who is trying to cut me down, shut me down, close me off, get rid of me. I do what he says, and I didn't even realize this until today. I always say I'm not wasting another second on somebody. What is the point? And he says, don't waste another second. You might not be able to control their behavior, but you can control your own.
That's okay.
Right. You know, we often see that little thing where people are provoked with each other, or sometimes they're just doing it in imitated fun, where they talk to the hand and they put their hand in your face.
Yeah.
Well, I figuratively say, talk to the hand. I don't have time to take out of my day that my Father has ordained for me to do something constructive for him. If it's nothing more to sit and study, nothing more to write what he's told me, I don't have time to play with your small
okay.
mentality.
All right. Now I'm going to throw something at both of you in all this, because what you're saying here is rather drastic. What Dr. T.D. Jakes is saying is rather drastic, because there are people out there who go, well, I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to accept them right where they are. And you know, just because they're cutting me down and telling me that, you know, I'm bad at this or that, or I'm not this or I'm not that, that I should just take that and just take it in stride. And talk to me, Nathan. I'm going to get back to Carol, because I believe that a lot of people put up with stuff that is abusive in their lives because they do it in the name of, oh, but God said, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's like, that's I think is a brand of false humility, though.
Aha.
I mean, you just, you know, you're doing it because you want people to notice that you do it.
Mm, good point.
You know, people to notice that, well, I can take this. I can take this abuse. I can take this ill will towards me. I can take it. I can take it.
So you know, I'm being a martyr for the master, right?
Exactly. A martyr for Jesus.
Right. So I'm just a martyr. Yeah.
Right. I can take it for Jesus. I mean, you know, they did it to him, so why should they do it to me?
So, Carol, all right, Nathan.
Because he died and rose again, and so it won't happen anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But why do we have so many people in churches who, number one, are critical, like this verse Jesus says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, and criticize their faults? That's the definition of judging. And we have so many quote-unquote Christians who call themselves Christians. And I know, audience, this is kind of a strong radio show, but this is where we are right now in Matthew 7, okay? And it needs to be taught. It needs to be talked about. There are so many people that feel it is their Christian duty to correct each other.
Yeah.
And put each other down. You know what I'm saying there, Nathan? And then we'll get to Carol.
Well, there's a way to bring correction into a person's life without hurting them.
Right. Yes, there is a way.
You know, people have a hard time accepting criticism when it's brought about in a negative way.
Right.
In a way that makes them feel less than.
Right.
But if you come to them in love, you know, and kindness and understanding how they might be receiving it, you know, and you present it in love to enhance your relationship with them.
Right.
Not to discourage your relationship.
Not to destroy their relationship. Right.
Right. But to enhance the relationship with them, then they're better able to receive what you might have to say.
So it's in the delivery, it's in the attitude, it's in the whether it's done in love or whether it is done just to put somebody down, make you feel better about yourself. You know, Carol, talk to us about that.
That's called fear.
Hmm.
And fear equals intimidation.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And loss of respect for yourself and for the other person.
Right.
The most important thing that we can ever have to do is we don't have to please anybody but God.
Right.
We're accountable to him and him alone. I'm not accountable to my parents. I'm not accountable to my brother. I'm not accountable to my boss. I'm accountable in the Christian world to my God.
Amen.
That is all. He will take care of the rest of it because he tells us that he will do it. And we often hear a soft word turns away wrath.
Right.
You cannot argue with somebody who doesn't want to argue.
That's true.
True.
If an argument starts and I don't want to be involved in it, I will put my hand up and say, that's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, don't push me at me again, because I do. I will call on his name and you'll be on the floor.
Okay.
And if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, try it and see.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying is there's got to be a limit when somebody is picking on you, and the bottom line here, and Cedric and I were kind of bantering back and forth at the beginning of the show, our nation, our society in this day and age is in bad shape. I mean, because people are wounded, they're hurt, they're a mess, and they strike out in crazy ways. you know, with theater shootings, with school shootings, with whatever. And there's always a root cause as to what was wrong with the individual, but whether or not they ever get to that resolved is slim, because a lot of times these people end up committing suicide. But the bottom line is this constant abusive stuff that comes in so many homes that is considered normal, back and forth discussion. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me, Carol, or Nathan.
They relate to each other. The way they relate.
The way they relate. I mean, we can be loving in our homes, or we can be picky. And Jesus said, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Three strong statements. Talk to me, you two.
I think it all results back to the word fear. Mm-hmm. Fear encompasses so many aspects of the human emotion. And we got to have the wisdom to recognize in our lives what is dead and what we have the courage to write off. If you're in a bad relationship, married, unmarried, whatever the case might be, and you see it not going the way that you feel it should go simply because the other person or persons are not linked to the same God that you're linked to.
Right.
And you see that they are going to abuse you, beat you, you know, scandal your name, whatever it is going to do. It's fear that wants us to go back and make it right. Let me make it right. I'm so sorry. It must have been my fault. No. You have to find the courage to cut off what is dead.
Carol, what you are just describing is the voice of so many battered people in America right now that put up with abusive language and threats and actual hitting and shoving and pushing and tripping and all of that. And in the name of love, they put up with it because, oh, I love him, you know, or, oh, he didn't mean to do that, or she didn't mean to do that. I mean, women can throw punches, too. It's not just all men, you know.
I've known some women. And unbeknownst to the rest of the world, because they hide it from their family, hide it from their work colleagues. A lot of men are beaten up by women.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And
yes.
Let me tell you something. Nobody has the right to put their hands on you in any way.
Right.
Unless you choose. When I taught school, even with my little first graders, I had everybody, we went outside, and I got on the playground, just away in a little corner, and I had them just line up. I said, just get in a line. I don't care how you do it. Just make a line somehow. And they did. I said, now hold your arms out like you're a bird, like you're an eagle. So they held their arms out. And I said, slowly turn to your left and make the circle until you're looking at me again, slowly. And they did. And I had them hold their arms out continuously for that little few seconds. I said, that is called your personal space. Say your name and say, this is my personal space. And they did. And I said, now, nobody, including Miss Witcher, has the right to come into your personal space if you don't choose to have us there.
Wow. Wow, that's a good point.
And I still feel that same way. I will tell people, you know, you need to back up. You're in my personal space, and I didn't invite you there.
Woo! Okay, hold that thought while we do this song by Sidewalk Prophets. Nathan, stay with us, can you? Keep Making Me by Sidewalk Prophets.
Make me broken so I can be healed. 'Cause I'm so callous and now I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken. Make me empty so I can be filled. 'Cause I'm still holding onto my will. And I'm completed when you are with me. Till you are
Lord. Keep making me. Keep working on me, Lord. Don't let me go. Good song. Good song. Ooh, Nathan talked to us here, what Carol was talking about here, just this personal space thing. Lord, cause me to be what you want me to be so I don't hurt others around me, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this personal space idea is a great idea, and it's a good way to teach young people and teach children. And I think it's a good, we all can learn from that.
Right.
You know, because there is a place where it becomes uncomfortable
right.
for someone to be in your face.
Right. Right. It's true.
You know, especially if they're in your face criticizing you or putting you down.
Right.
You know, or picking on you. That's not a good place for them to be.
No. Absolutely.
Not well, a good place to be.
Carol, how and, come... Go ahead, Nathan. Finish your thought.
Well, that's my thought.
Okay, how come so many people have a hard time accepting no for an answer? Let's say, because we in the ministry, we've dealt with a lot of people through the years that have been sexually abused and raped and so forth. And how come people, it's that self-centered ego thing, isn't it, Carol?
I think the reason people have a hard time accepting a lot of things is we don't establish the word no early on in our relationships with even infants. Right now, I can tell you that I have a little kitten that's about 8 weeks old, maybe not
yes,
even that old.
Yes, and tell him the name.
Oh, his name is Ziggy.
Yes, Ziggy. He's cute as all get out. He's really cute.
When I tell him the word no... I've never touched him when I said the word no. I clapped my hands or hit the top of my desk with the flat part of my fingers and said no. Whatever he's doing, when he hears the word no, he stops. But those are things you have to establish very early on. Animal trainers use the word no, and it means cease and desist.
Did you use that word when you were training all your boxers? And
oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, because you've had tons of dogs through the years.
And it's to the time now that, like, Floyd Henry is the only surviving one, and he'll be 11 March 22nd.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to say no anymore. I can just simply go, uh-uh.
Uh-uh.
And he knows that's what he needs to do is stop. But we don't establish that. Families don't establish it. I love to talk about bullies because they're the biggest cowards on the face of the earth.
Oh, amen. Wait
and
a minute. Just a minute.
Full of fear. So
yes.
Full of fear.
I agree with that. But bullies are the biggest cowards on the face of this earth. I agree.
And bullying does not start in school. Bullying starts in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Right at the crib.
Yeah.
If someone is an older child, maybe just a few, I don't know, a few months even older, a year or 2 years older, if they're able to pinch the new one or to hit the new one or whatever it is to do with the new infant,
right,
and nobody says no, they will continue.
Right, right. Right, if they're picking on the new baby in the house. Right, yes, exactly.
And no one stops it. The man picks on the wife. The wife picks on the husband.
Right.
Nobody says no. There's not a child that brave is the child, I'll put it that way. Brave is the child, the teen, the adolescent, whatever it is that says, no, mom, dad, don't do that.
Okay, Carol, and I agree with you entirely, and I will tell you, that there are countless people probably listening right now who say, but wait a minute, what about keeping peace in my home? Because I thought it was the loving thing to do to not stand up to that abusive language or the, you know, the mistreatment, the shoving, the pushing, whatever.
It's not loving at all.
I know, but I'm telling you, Carol, there are people out there who are so blinded to this whole issue, and they allow it, thinking that's the loving thing to do.
It isn't a loving thing. It is a coward's way out of doing anything. You have to get up off the sofa and stop an issue. You don't have to hit somebody, beat somebody. You stop the issue. You call the names. Bobby, Ray, that's enough.
Right.
Now, if you cannot play together as friends right now, then you don't need to play together.
Right.
Find something else to do to occupy your time. But the very instant bullying begins, it must be stopped. I taught for 30 years, people. I never once, but one time, had a bully in my class because I set the rules up front. This is a family. We're in this room together. We live together, 7 3/4 hours a day.
Right.
I am your person in front of you longer in a daylight than your parents are.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you, we are going to care for each other. We're going to protect each other. We're going to laugh at each other. We're going to laugh with each other. But at the end of the day, we all love each other. And we're going to miss each other going home. So if you want to stand by the door and shake the hand or give a hug of your friend leaving, please feel free to do so. But I will have no dissension in my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I will not tolerate it and put up with it.
Right.
We will not make fun of anybody. I said, if you want to make fun of somebody, I wore glasses. I said, if you want to make fun of somebody, and I know some of you have come to me as bullies, I know you've been placed in my classroom for a reason, and I'm going to tell you now, if you want to make fun of somebody, start on me. And when you think you can start on me, then we will discuss you doing it.
I doubt very much if they bullied you, Carol.
They did not. But
yeah.
We loved each other.
Well,
we
there you go. But you set the tone. You set the parameters. And
well,
I think...
isn't that what parents are supposed to do?
Yes. And
not
Jesus does it right here to all of us and says, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Quit picking.
If you want to change
quit
your child,
picking.
You want to change a child's behavior? Here are some of the things that I said. I would call Bobby up and I said, Bobby, you're such a toad. You're just an ordinary little cuss today, aren't you? But here's what we're going to do. We're going to love you in spite of the fact that you're ornery. And I would say to the classroom, today is Bobby's ornery day.
That's funny.
So he's given us an indication that he does not care to participate individually with us. In class, he will have to. But, Bobby, we're going to love you through your ordinary day. And when you feel that you're ready for human contact, let us know. And
yeah.
It never went beyond 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I had college professors, unbeknownst to me, I would look up, my door would open at any grade level I taught. My door would open, and college professors would come in with some of their prospective teaching students.
Right.
And sit and watch my class.
Right. I can imagine why. Yeah. Can't you, Nathan?
Because I valued every kid.
And see, okay. Oh, that's a good point. Because you valued these people. Here's the basic problem, I believe, and we need to banter about this. I think the basic problem is so many times people feel unvalued, and so they're going to they're not going to value other people because they're
not even a feeling. It's probably a reality.
Right. Maybe they have been, put down, maligned, beat up, whatever in their family. So it's natural then to carry that into the next relationship, whether it be a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever, and exhibit that same behavior they learned.
You know, I often have, as I was teaching and learning as a teacher to deal with people in a different way than what I had ever seen. And even with my own faculty standing there and watching the way some of them dealt with the children, it just made my skin crawl. And eventually somebody would come to me and say, oh, I see you got Max Johnson. What a rat he was. And maybe a little stronger language than that. How is he behaving? I said, well, why don't you watch him and see how he behaves? I think you brought out the worst in him. You didn't accept him for who he was. So he's red-headed and has freckles.
Right.
So he's blonde-headed and wears his hair in an Elvis. Who cares?
Who cares?
It's what inside them.
Right.
Find the goodness and the
mercy. Yes. Yes. Nathan, talk to us about this. Carol, the wild elementary teacher, don't you think?
I'm telling you, I wish I had her for my elementary teacher.
I know. Wouldn't it have been great? But we have her now. We have all that wisdom right now on this radio show. So. But go ahead, Nathan. I mean, this is about valuing people, don't you think? And not discarding them and throwing them away.
Exactly. I think once we start to truly value each other, we'll treat each other much differently.
Right.
Because anything that you value, you're careful with.
Right.
You know, any person that you value, you're careful. You're careful with it and how you approach them, how you talk to them.
That's true.
How you treat them.
I've had some wonderful lessons taught to me over the years. because I chose to be a student of human nature. And I chose to look at people differently. You know, there was a time in my life as a young girl when I was angry about a lot of things I saw. And it wasn't that I was angry at the people. It was angry that people didn't perceive their actions in a better way. You know, when you're a kid, 11, 12, 13, nobody wants to hear your opinion.
Right.
You know, they don't even want you to say the prayer at the table because heaven forbid what you might say and embarrass the family.
Right.
You know? And yet, I stood and I watched, and my brother, my family was dark. And you can't look at it now, but I had absolutely jet black hair. And it was wavy and curly. And this is in the deep South, folks. What do you think was going on in my family? How do you think we got treated out of ignorance and intolerance from other people?
Right, sure.
You know, but it was a great lesson. It taught me to look inside somebody.
Right.
See what they were willing to offer and what they weren't willing to offer. Yeah. I have had some of the greatest teachers in the world. And they were people from every generation, every walk in life. And I have learned from every single one of them that all the exterior parts of us don't amount to a hill of beans.
Right.
It's what we do inside.
Amen.
It's passion. It's our empathy. It's our love. It's our forgiveness. It's our helpful attitude.
That's exactly right. And I believe that's exactly what Jesus is getting to here in these three chapters, learning to be genuine, learning to be generous with each other, giving of ourselves, giving forgiveness when we need to give forgiveness, being gracious, full of God's grace, teaching people how to walk in His grace and His wisdom. Nathan, comment on this before we go to station ID. I can't believe we've gone an hour already, so crazy. But go ahead.
I think the way we feel about ourselves often is the way we treat other people as well.
Right, yeah.
If we don't really like ourselves, then we treat other people like we really don't like them.
Right.
And I think that, like, the joy of the Lord, if you don't have the joy of the Lord, you're not really, you know, joyful. It's hard to treat other people joyfully, you know, treat other people in that way.
Right.
I think, you know, as Jesus was teaching here, He was teaching us that to follow in his footsteps, to follow in His precepts, that we could really know true joy and true value in relationships.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about following Him and letting Him be our example, you know, for living. Oh, let's go to station ID, and then we'll talk more in a few minutes.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And I'm Pastor Marcia, joined today with Carol and Nathan. And we're having a pretty good talk going on here. Really, really is. It's very good. Nathan, can you stay on a little while longer? You got to go. Okay, good. Carol, tell us what the prayer ministry is about and tell people how they can reach us with their prayer requests, please.
Oh, my goodness. I think the prayer ministry is a vital part of any church, any organized religion, or if it's not organized, if people just have a neighborhood that they come to one person's house and they Bible study there or whatever it might be, we've got to learn to pray for other people. We're demanded.
Amen.
To do so by Jesus Christ. He wants us to pray for each other and be at peace among ourselves and no one rendering evil to anybody else. It's vitally important for the Beacon of Hope. We have a large ministry. Since the beginning of January, I think we've had well over 20 prayers that have been written. And some days it's a day of nothing but prayer, and some days it'll be just a day or two coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go to Beacon of Hope and find the prayer list. If you go to, I'm getting this little information sheet, prayers at bohmglobal.com.
Right.
Once again, the word prayers with the little at on your computer, bohmglobal, and they don't have to be capitalized letter .com. And that gets you right into the system, and it comes to me or to Pastor Jim. And whoever is there first answers the prayers. We pray for the people, write the prayers, send it online. We have a huge prayer team. I don't even know how many people are on it now.
Right. There's a lot scattered around different parts of the United States. And
all over the place.
And we want people to join the prayer team, don't we?
We definitely do. And, you know, once you begin to do that, and then we try to put the praises up. I do have a praise that is an extremely important praise. The little baby that was born in Athens, Georgia, that weighed a pound, 15 and a half ounces.
I was telling them about him today. Yes.
He is doing well. I spoke to his grandmother before I came on the air. He is doing beautifully.
Fantastic.
His mama, first time mama, got to hold him in that, like a little kangaroo pouch.
Yes.
She got to hold him Thursday.
Wow.
They took his oxygen off yesterday. They say he's growing well. He is just remarkably recovering.
And
that is, people, the power of prayer.
And he was born at 25 weeks, correct?
25 weeks old, 1 pound, 15 and a half ounces.
Wow.
12 inches long.
Wow. Wow.
He was a tiny little guy, but they say his grandmother says he's growing beautifully, and she attributes it all to the power of prayer.
His name is Jackson, right?
His name is Gray Bennett
Lee. Oh, it's Gray. That's right. I was thinking of another baby. Yeah, Gray. Yeah. Gray
Bennett Lee.
Yeah, that's right.
And he is just going to be a remarkable little fellow. He's his parents' very first baby.
Yeah.
And they are looking so forward to bringing him home.
Right.
So I know that if prayers, and his grandmother knows, if prayers had not been started for that child immediately, who knows where he would have been.
Right.
He is, at this point, a healthy little guy, although he's tiny. He is healthy. The doctors are saying wonderful things about him. And that's what happens when we send prayers.
Amen.
You know, when you ask a prayer to be written, you don't have to, when you contact BOHM, Beacon of Hope Prayers at BOHM Global, you don't have to be concerned about writing the prayer for yourself. Just simply say something like, my father is very ill. I think he has a heart attack. Then from there, God directs and leads.
And that's all they have to do. Amen. And if you want to join the prayer team, send a request to the same email address, prayers at BOHM.
And all we Global. Require, we don't really require your name. We just need to have your email address so that we can put you on the list. And when a prayer is written, either by Pastor Jim or myself, then it goes, you will receive the prayers as well. And one of the things that I typically try to say is, if and when you can, please pray. And if you don't know how to pray for somebody, read the prayer that's written.
Right.
And that's a prayer for God to hear and Jesus to act on and the Holy Spirit to fill that individual's life with whatever they need, whatever the comfort level
Amen.
They might have.
And we've had this ministry now for several years at Beacon, and we're excited about it. It's growing constantly. And some days there's 20, 30 prayer requests come in, and other days just a few. But, you know, that it's there for you. So prayers at BOHMglobal.com. And Nathan, did we have church today, or did we have church?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. The power of God fell on that congregation today. In such a powerful way. It was just a wonderful service today.
Well, you and I sang our lungs out, and I can feel it in my throat now. But we certainly did, didn't we?
Mm. We did. Yes, we did.
And God gave you a song. You wrote it on the spot. That happens once in a while, and it happened today. And it was just an amazing time. And before I ever got a chance to preach, we said anybody who needs prayer for healing or prayer for anything, and people were everywhere up front, weren't they? It was just
they sure did. I don't remember the last time we had that many people come forward for prayer.
No, it was crazy. It was crazy.
So strong.
They were standing there two or three deep. It was just amazing. Praise God! What an anointing God does. If you do not have home church, come and visit us at Beacon of Hope. Sunday mornings at 10:30 and Wednesday night at 7:00. And the power of God is amazing. Listen to this song, and then we're going to get back to Carol and Nathan in just a moment. It's by Dara McLean, Our Only Hope.
She still keeps the pictures up of who she loves.
past. Joy is a memory that she forgot. Life wasn't fair to her. A cold room and all alone, she cries tonight. Her prayers are angry words, their questions why life wasn't fair to her.
I've never heard that song. Your healer to the broken. Oh, comfort to the lost. I love that. Praise God. It's all about finding God, finding that relationship with Jesus and growing that relationship and allowing Jesus to teach you how to handle difficult situations in your life. Because Jesus is saying here, there's going to be times you're going to want to pick on people. There's going to be times you're going to want to judge and criticize. But don't do it. He said, don't do it. Nathan talked to me about this growing process. You and I, we've been, and Carol too, we've all been in the Word for many, many, many years, and yet God continues to work on us, doesn't He?
There's always something new.
There's
always something new, and I always find in my own life, you know, just when I think I've arrived, I'm still at the beginning.
Right.
Because there's something new that the Lord has to teach me.
Yes.
And He does. And, you know, I'm a willing student. I'm willing to learn.
Right.
Because I want to be all that He wants me to be.
Absolutely. And don't you think that there are probably a lot of people out there that they have somewhat of a desire to be what God wants them to be, but they feel like it's just too hard. It's too hard to give up, you know, letting people know how I feel. I'm going to let them have, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, you know, type of attitude. And a lot of people don't want to give that up and let God fix it. And I want to take our attention to verse 34 of Matthew 6, and then I'll go back to you, Nathan, and then Carol. It says this, Jesus said, Matthew 6:34 in the Message Bible, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come, whatever hard things come up, when the time comes. Talk to me about that, Nathan, then we'll go to Carol about that.
Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, if we stay in the moment with God.
Oh, yeah.
If we stay in the moment with God and don't try to rush ahead, you know, try to figure out what's going to happen. Because generally what we usually worry about never happens.
Right.
You know, what we get so anxious about doesn't happen.
Right.
So if we stay with God and get our entire attention to what God is doing right now, I think when a person can do that, when we do that, first of all, we find peace.
Right.
We find peace. And when we can see what God is doing and we can really rejoice in what God is doing, we find joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just righteousness.
Right.
Right standing with God.
Right.
You know, it's in the moment.
It's in the moment. And living in that. Carol, talk to us about this. Because, you know, as we are living in these difficult times, admittedly so, there are often opportunities to tell people what we think or to give them a piece of our mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You know, we all have those opportunities, don't we? We're blessed with those on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I think sometimes they're a test to see what we're going to do and
how
really manifest we are in our own beliefs.
Right.
You know, I don't worry about tomorrow because I know tomorrow's not here. And by the time it gets here, it'll be yesterday. It won't be tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
Tomorrow never comes in my vocabulary. I don't worry about tomorrow. If I have to do something tomorrow, if I go to bed tonight and say, oh, I've got to do this and tomorrow, I just simply will say to myself, Lord, please help me to have the wisdom to know to do what I'm supposed to do with your guidance.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
I can't change tomorrow.
Right.
Because I don't know it yet.
Right.
I certainly can't change yesterday except by asking for forgiveness for whatever it is I've done that might have been offensive to anybody.
Exactly.
And especially offensive to God. If I didn't carry out his plan for me that day, I have to ask an apology and a forgiveness for it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I might have let my humanness come in. Instead of going to take clothes to somebody whose house burned, I decided I wanted to go bowling.
Right.
Which would he have preferred me to do? He would have preferred that I go do the kind act.
Right.
But because I wanted to please myself and meet with my hoop-de-doo friends, I went over to go bowling.
Right.
And then at some point, he convicts me in my soul.
Right.
About, I can almost hear his voice saying, so, how'd you like bowling today?
Yeah.
And I know that right away, I'm not supposed to say, oh, I loved it. I'm supposed to say, well, you know, that 130 that I bowled was pretty scrawny, but I bet if I'd done what you asked me to do, I would be singing praises all the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a matter of listening to his voice, isn't it, Carol and Nathan?
It's a matter of shutting the world out and listening to him.
It is. And when we do that, we are less likely to fall in the pit of criticizing others and picking on them and finding fault all the time. When we are spending more time, and I think this is the essence of what this show is saying today, when we are spending more quality time with Almighty God, the God who created us, the God who knows us through and through, the God who loves us just the way we are, but when we are spending more quality time with him on a daily basis, we are less likely to judge and pick on others.
And your day goes so smoothly.
Yes.
If there's something that comes up that's disruptive, you can deal with it better because he has said to us, don't worry. I have today.
Be anxious for nothing.
I have every moment you breathe in my hands.
Right.
Don't worry about it. It's my job to worry.
Yeah.
And we are to say, yes, God, thank you for being so mindful of me that you would care for my day all day long. That you protect me, that you cover me, that you love me, that you show me strength and mercy and grace. And above all, I can say to you, I didn't do what I should have done today, Lord, and I'm sorry. And he will say, have no fear. I've covered it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we listen to the mission that he gives us, and praise God, he gives us each different missions. We may be on the same journey. We may be going to Pearl's house to take clothes where she was burned. Nathan might be bringing food. You might be bringing animal food.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same mission, but we get there from a different journey.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And we have to learn this whole importance of building each other up. The word talks about edifying each other, and that word, the root of that is like a building, edifice. And the meaning is to erect something, to build something up. And so often I think we are so good at tearing down and so bad at building up. Talk to me, Nathan, on that.
Well, it's human nature to tear each other down.
Yeah, it is.
That's human nature. That's the unredeemed human nature, I
right.
would say. Because when Christ comes in and he fills us with his love, then we want to build each other up.
Yeah.
We want to love each other. We want to build each other up. And I think that this scripture, too, is speaking to the fact that we're all at different places in our walk with the Lord.
Yes, yes.
And some of us may not be grown-up Christians yet.
Right, right.
Some of us may still be babes in Christ.
Right.
May still have a language problem
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but we're still Christians.
Right.
And we still have the love of Christ in us. And because someone is a little bit more mature along the pathway of Christ, following Christ, can look at that person and realize that God's not through with them yet, just like he's not through with us yet. And so we can just build each other up, you know, in the Word and in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And in love, by loving each other.
By loving each other. I love Matthew 7 here in the first few verses where Jesus says, you know, it's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you say, let me wash your face for you. In other words, let me point out where you're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are areas in our own lives where we're missing the boat, where we don't have it right. Carol, talk to me about that because I think that's what people are so good at looking at others. That's judging, you know?
Well, I know it's human nature to judge people, but it's not godly nature.
That's right.
You know, if we need to look at ourselves more critically. We need to realize that beauty is not just on the face in the way of beautiful skin and gorgeous eyes and nice hair and beautiful lips and whatever. We need to be able to look on that person's face and see the face of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And know that in his diversity and his desire to have people different, there is beauty, there is grace, there is motion, there is everything in every person's diversity that makes them unique to Christ. And he loves every single one of them. You know, he loves the Afrikaner in the villages as much as he loves the people in Park Place, New York.
Right.
Probably a little more because they're closer to him. They really are. They have to depend more on him.
Right.
If you got skadoodle oodles and noodles of money, how much do you think those people really depend on Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And you take the widow down the street that is raising 5 or 6 children with no help from anybody. Who do you think the blessings are going to fall to?
Yeah.
The blessings are going to fall to her because that is all she has. She has the courage, the strength, and the wisdom to know everything she has comes from Jesus Christ. It
Amen.
Wasn't an accident that somebody came to the door and handed her movie tickets and said, Eloise, take your kids and go to the movie today. And by the way, here's money for popcorn and soda.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Those are things we must do. You know, I am so appalled, truly appalled. It grieves my heart to see that human beings hurt, maim, and kill each other
right.
on a daily basis.
Right.
And the same thing with animals.
Yeah.
It rips me totally apart. Sometimes I have to back into a corner and say, Lord, I don't understand. Teach me. Fill my heart with love for the downtrodden.
Right.
Fill my heart with love for those who get picked on.
Right.
fill my heart with those who are lonely and have no one to talk to. You know, I'm on my phone constantly. And it's not that people call me necessarily, but I'm on my phone. I'm doing what my cousin Joe did before he passed away. He had emphysema so bad he couldn't even get out of his own house. He was on huge oxygen lines and so forth. But his pastor gave Joe says, I need a job in the church, because he could no longer attend the church because of his emphysema. And his pastor said, Joe, would you take the prayer list each Sunday? I'll bring it by. And you and I will pray over it, and then would you call each of these people on the
list?
Wow,
wow.
He did, up to his death.
Wow.
Even a few hours before he passed away.
Wow.
And he kept in touch with those people. Every day, every Sunday, he called the people who were in home and couldn't go. And he called the people who had been placed on there. Why can't we all do that? Why can't we all pick up our phone? And I'm talking about the listening world. Why can't you pick up your phone and call somebody that you know is lonely, or lost, or downtrodden? The life has stolen their joy. It's a simple act.
Well,
act of contrition.
It is, and it's an act of obedience and love. And what you're talking about is a perfect segue into this song by Casting Crowns, City on a Hill.
City on the hill, said one old man to the other. It once shined bright and it would be shining still, but they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow, and the soldiers thought the poets were weak. And the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill, the city on the hill. Each one thought that they knew better, but they were different by design. Instead of standing strong together, they let their differences divide. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on the hill. And the world is searching still. But it was the rhythm of the dancers that gave the poets life. It was the spirit of the poets that gave the soldiers strength to fight. It was the fire of the young ones. It was the wisdom of the old. It was the story of the poor man that needed to be told. That gives the poets life. It is the spirit of the poets that gives the soldiers strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story of the poor man that's needing to be told. One by one will we run away with our made-up minds to leave it all behind as the light begins.
begins.
Boy, that's such a strong song. I love that song. It talks about tolerance for each other in the body of Christ and in all walks of life, that we each have a purpose. We each have talents. We each have abilities, and we've got to learn to get together. Nathan, talk to me about this. I just love that song by Casting Crowns.
Well, the thing of it is as we edify each other,
right,
as we love each other, and cultivate in each other the gifts of the God that God has given each other, because different people have different gifts.
Right.
Different people have different talents and abilities. And as we learn to cultivate them and to share them and encourage people in their gifts, encourage people in their talents, then we grow together.
Yes, absolutely.
If we become critical of each other, or if we think we have the plan, and you don't.
Right, right.
Then, you know, people start pulling away.
Right. So it's a matter of tolerance, but it's also a matter of operating in such love that we see the value in the poet and see the value in the warrior and see the value in each other, no matter the differences that we have. Don't you think, Carol?
Definitely. I think we need, in lines of other people, to do the unexpected.
Yeah.
If someone is expecting us to be angry with them because maybe they've done something that should be make somebody angry.
Yeah.
But if we advance that anger, that's what they're anticipating, and they're ready. Man, they're like a racehorse in the track, ready to get going.
Right.
We do the unexpected. If we say, you know, you're right. I made a hasty judgment, and I ask your apology. I would like to know how we're different and how we're alike, and what do we have in our goal? Is, you know, and I'll say to the person, is your goal to reach heaven ahead of me? Because that's where I'm going, and I'd like to further this conversation.
Right.
You know, we have to do the unexpected. People expect Christians to act a certain way. And then the people who don't really care for Christians expect us to behave in a certain way, which is to be, you know, they're trying to be catty and talk down to us. But if we keep a steady gait, and if we continuously say, you know, the Lord of peace works within me.
Right.
And the Lord of gracious goodness. And I appreciate the difference between you and I. You know, if nothing else, with Nathan's music, he knows I can't sing. You do, too. And he knows I can't play. But I've been given the ability to appreciate his gifts and talents, which are multitudinous.
Good. Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with you. You know, you're a singer. I'm not. But I appreciate what people do. You know, if it's a person like Sean. Now, Sean is a man that gets, the position Sean fills is a man that gets very little praise. Who wants to clean the toilets in God's house? If you stand up in a church, regardless of the size, and say, we have a project and we need somebody to do this, we need someone to clean the toilets in God's house. How many people do you think are going to be running down that aisle?
Mm-hmm.
But there's Sean. That hand goes up. He wants to keep God's house clean.
Right.
And there's a purpose and a reason for that.
Right.
He honors God every time he cleans anything there.
Right. Absolutely.
And he honors God every time he brings his chocolate chip cookies.
That's exactly right, too. That's right.
You know, because everybody has learned that that's a talent that he has.
Right.
And it brings a camaraderie, an anticipation,
exactly,
if you will, of the things to come in the service.
Right. Right.
You know, if you have someone whose sole goal is to greet people at the door, oh, my stars and garters, what a wonderful position they have. They have the opportunity to show the people coming in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And just to greet people with love and all of that.
That's right. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody's wearing rags if they are treated as they are human beings.
Well, it's all about this, not criticizing, not pouncing on people, instead learning to accept our differences
Nathan, talk to me about this with the differences. I don't know if the skin color issue for you has been a big one through your life or not, and maybe you'd like to address that or not. It's up to you. But just the differences in how people can find anything to criticize if they want to.
Well, yeah, if you want to find something wrong, if you look for it, you'll find it.
Right.
If you know something to criticize anyone.
Right.
Any person in. And it doesn't have to be an obvious difference like skin color.
Right.
It could be an opinion. It could be something that a person does that you don't like.
Right.
You don't like what they're doing, you know, or you don't like what people think of him or her or whatever. I mean, it could be anything.
Right.
The devil is slick.
Oh, isn't he?
And he's the accuser of the brethren.
Oh, yeah.
And he can find hundreds of things to accuse us of.
Oh, absolutely. Always does. He does. That's his job. He does it.
And so he can make a suggestion to your mind about someone or something and just pull that trigger, and then there you are, caught in that trap.
Right.
Of criticism.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a sad place to be.
Well, we have to learn. We made this point earlier. We have to learn to value each other. And, Carol, we were talking earlier about the importance of respecting boundaries in people's lives and learning to respect where they're coming from. We don't have to agree with somebody's opinion on something, political or whatever, but we do need to not criticize, belittle, and pick on people, you know?
We don't know the circumstances that created their opinion.
Right.
Or their fears or their joys. We don't know. We can only surmise something.
Right.
You know, when you work with children and you see a child come in their grade level and they don't have clothes to wear, or their hair isn't done, or they come in and they're wearing barely raggedy shoes, you don't know what walk that kid has had.
Right.
So, you know, you greet them as if they have come in the most elegant of everything.
True.
So many people are very prejudiced about the way people look. I attended First Methodist Church in Lakeland, where I'm still a member. And there was a gentleman that came. And he was raggedy. And he muttered to himself a lot. He was always between the church and the library. You'd see him walking in town. And he had a beard. He did not smell the cleanest because his clothes were not always clean. And yet he would walk right up into the church and sit on the very front row.
Oh, wow.
And he heard the word of God. And he was there at every event. Nobody took the time to know who he was except the pastor. And one day, one evening, on a Saturday night, he had gone to his little hiding place, and he stayed close to the fact he could watch the church.
Okay.
And he saw somebody entering the church and the damage they were doing, and they set it on fire.
Oh, my.
And he ran. He didn't have a phone. He ran. This man didn't look like he could hardly move, but he ran to the fire station and told them that his church was on fire.
Oh, my.
And they got there, and the police came, and they arrested the boys that had broken in. And the church fire was put out. Now, where do you think people wanted him to sit the next Sunday?
With them?
Right beside them.
That's right.
Right beside them. Yeah. It did not matter.
Right.
His love of God and his love of the church.
Wow.
Kept their house of worship stable.
Right.
From the deed that was being done. You know, I can't look at anybody else and say, they're not worthy. Who am I to say that? You know, Jesus can look at me and say, well, who the heck do you think you are?
Right. Right.
You know, get a grip on life, Carol. You're not all that.
Right.
You know, I'm only as good as he gives me the knowledge to be.
Yeah. But we think you're all that and a bag of chips.
I get good on my own behavior.
Right.
I get good, and I get gooder, and there's no such word, but I get gooder because I constantly am in the scriptures. I'm
right.
in books and other.
Yes, yes.
You know, that makes you better. You
yes.
understand human nature more.
Yes. You learn how to become like him. And really, that's the message of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus is trying to get people attention. He says in chapter 6 there, we talked about it last week, where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. You know, so store up for yourselves rewards in heaven. You know, do the right thing. Don't be an abuser. Don't be somebody who's always picking fights and known in your church or in your family as somebody with a critical spirit. You know, Nathan, talk to me about the critical spirit. Carol, those are good insights you just gave us. The critical spirit, to me, it just wears people down.
Oh yeah. People don't want to hear it.
Right. They get tired of hearing it.
People don't want to hear it. They get tired of it. And
right.
you know, they don't want to be around you. They don't want to have anything really to do with you. If you're always criticizing them,
right.
always putting them down.
Right.
If you're always picking on them, they don't want to have anything to do with you.
Right.
And when there's a critical spirit in the church, oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
That happens.
It happens, but it's something that needs to be rooted out of the church and out of our homes, that criticalness where we can't seem to ever do anything right, you know, because Jesus has said, don't act like this. Don't act like this. It's all about receiving God's grace in our lives and then learning how to be gracious to others. You know, learning how to extend forgiveness. We've talked about that so much on this show through the years. Learning how to forgive does not mean that I agree with something bad that happened to me. But forgiveness means I let it go. They don't owe me anymore. And we got to learn to be gracious, which leads me to this song. Oh, Grace Tells Another Story by the group Mercy Me.
They say don't waste your time. You simply cannot find an ounce of good within the heart of man. They say
say, but grace tells us.
Praise God. Grace tells us another story. There are so many times in our lives we feel like we have messed up so much. We are so at the end of our rope. We don't know how to remedy a situation. Maybe it's in our homes. Maybe it's in a relationship at work. Or maybe it's just your relationship, between you and God. And you just feel like you've messed up and messed up and messed up and failed God. And let's talk about that. When we feel that way, Nathan, I'm going to start with you and then we'll go to Carol. When we feel like we have so blown it, we have so messed up, we have so been what we've been talking about today, people that find fault easily, people that pick on others, people that judge others. When we, let's say we've got listeners right now that are listening and going, you know what, I've been that and I've struggled with that all my life. What do we say to people like this? Nathan, start with you.
First of all, we need to give it to the Lord. We need to take it to the Lord. We say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've been this way. Forgive me. And
repent. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, repent. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
That's where we begin. And every time we find ourselves in that situation, when we catch ourselves, repent immediately.
Right.
Immediately repent.
And repentance means turn around and go the other way. In other words,
exactly.
Not just going, man, I shouldn't have done that. No, it's actually feeling that you have hurt God and feeling that you've hurt other people, and you need to straighten it out.
Mm-hmm. And if necessary, go to that person and make amends.
Right. It's humbling, though, to do that, isn't it, Nathan?
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Because you put yourself in a position where that person can lord it over you more or less.
Right.
You know.
If they don't receive it in the right way. You and I have had, 10 years of ministering together, 11 years, whatever. And there have been a couple times we've had issues, and it's required us talking it out, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been.
And forgiving each other for misunderstandings or whatever. Be the bigger person, do it, And look where we are now. I don't know that I've ever been closer to you than I am right now in all these years, Nathan.
Well, praise God, because I've always been close to you.
Well, no, I'm serious. I've always been close to you, too. But, I mean, it has grown through the years,
Right.
And as it grows, there are times you have to say, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. So this is what you're recommending. People out there that realize, Yeah, I'm a fault finder. I'm a critical person. I'm a pick person. There can be a change in your life, sweetheart. There can be. Talk to me, Carol. Talk to me.
I think so often we have the art of neglect.
Oh boy, that's profound. The art of neglect.
Yeah, we overlook something. We don't think it was worthy of our conversation, worthy of our time. So many times we don't stand behind somebody. We don't encourage. We don't stand shoulder to shoulder with them to face their problems. And then they look and we're not there. They expected us, kind of, sort of, maybe, but we're not there. And we have practiced the fine art of neglect. Because
wow.
Later we will come to that person and say, man, I really wish I'd been there for you. That's a little late to say it. It doesn't take anything to stand shoulder to shoulder with somebody and face the demons that they're facing and say, I've got your back. We can always say, Jesus has our back.
Right.
To err is human, to forgive divine.
Right.
We make mistakes. We make them out of ignorance. We make them because we're just doggone ordinary, and we're going to do it anyway. It's our way. It's going to be that way forever, and nobody's going to change my mind.
Right.
Well, God can change your mind in less than the blink of an eye.
Yes, He can.
He doesn't have to knock you in the head. He can simply change the form of the individual or the trouble in front of you. If it's a situation that's very dire, call on His name. He can change it in half of an instant to something different. We have to maximize every single moment of our lives. Whether the two of you know it or not, or the listening audience, we're dying.
Right.
We're dying.
Right, sure we are.
We're dying to live. I wrote a thing one time about having to die to live.
Right.
I have to die.
Right.
in order to live.
We got to die to the old ways of criticizing, thinking, the old ways of behaving, picking on people, fault finding. We got to die to that stuff in order to live. That's what I hear you saying.
That's exactly what we have to do. We, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to try to go in heaven's gate with the one who has the most little bars on their chest that says, I disliked, I did, I hated, I shut down? We're not getting very far. I think the centurion, the angel, is going to say, oh, excuse me. That is not going to get you in here.
Right.
Now, we have your book of life in our hand, and, it, you know, we need to talk about it.
Right.
And when I reach the point that I'm no longer here physically in this world, I know that I really want to be where Jesus is.
Oh, amen.
I don't want to ever have to live in turmoil and people killing people and people hurting people intentionally and stealing and robbing. We don't just steal money from people. We steal their dignity.
Right.
We steal their purpose.
Right.
We steal their respect.
Their joy.
We steal everything from them.
Yeah.
And does that build us up? Do you get 10-foot lift in your shoes when you do that to somebody else?
Mm.
No, we don't. We get 10-foot lift in our shoes when we go to God's people that nobody else wants to talk to, nobody else wants to help, nobody wants to speak to. Mm. We get our 10-foot lift when we do what Scripture tells us, to be forgiving, to be loving and to kind, and to always take care of the poor because they're with us always.
Right.
We have to do those things, and the
right.
poor in spirit as well. How many times have we looked, just the three of us, looked across the room and seen blank eyes?
Right.
We have stood in church together, the three of us, and watched people come in, and knowing that they're in the right place, they may not realize it at the moment, but they are.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And we get to them, and we say, welcome. You know, this is God's house. You are welcome here. We don't care if you're black, white, green, pink, purple, striped, gay,
right.
lesbian, not straight, whatever it might be.
Right.
We don't care. It's
right.
not our place to judge.
Right.
God asked us, asked Pastor Marshall to build a church
right.
for his people to come.
Right.
And she said, your people? And he said, all of my people. She said, I got you covered, Lord.
Amen.
Got you covered.
Yep.
You know,
we're still at it week after week and
yeah,
moment
our
after moment.
The congregation is so diverse.
It is.
And what a family it is.
Right.
You know, supportive of each other.
Yes.
Willing to be there, willing to share time, willing to laugh, willing to cry. How many times have you seen somebody walk over and put their arms around somebody who just fell apart?
Right.
You know, and that's what we do. That's what people who love God's people do.
Yes.
They take him to them. Let me serve you a portion of my Jesus Christ. It is Kleenex.
Yes. Praise God. That was happening this morning, wasn't it, Nathan?
Yes,
that whole crowd up there around the altar, that was, I mean, people were praying for each other, and it was just beautiful. It was the same thing what Carol's talking about. And that's what we need to be doing instead of picking on each other, instead of criticizing and judging.
Exactly.
It's the faith walk. It's the love walk.
And it's a walk of strength. We know when I'm weak, somebody else is stronger than me.
Yeah.
And that, in my case, that also has meant physically. And then when I was weak in spirit, there was somebody there to gird me.
Right. Right.
There's always the Bible. I can always go in the back of my Bible and the concordance and find what I need to deal with. If I'm angry, I can go back there and find the scriptures to deal with anger.
Right.
If I'm exceedingly happy and joyous, I can go look up joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I have to remind myself that by the very virtue of my name, which means song of joy, I need to put a little bit more of that in my smile.
There you go.
You know, I mean, my mother named me Carol, but I think it was God's plan to name me Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a song of joy for him in my heart, and I try not to let a day pass that when I see somebody downtrodden or hurting in some way that I don't reach out. That's
right.
What Maxine and I do. We reach out to the hurting people
right.
that God has placed in our lives, just like Beacon of Hope, just like the prayer ministry, Nathan's music, your preaching, the food that's brought in.
Right.
you know, the loving care, the, hey, come to my house, come to my apartment, let's just have a good time.
Yes.
Let's be together and love each other, because outside the boundaries of church, sometimes it can get pretty wicked out there in that world.
Well, a lot of times people don't have true friends out there.
No, they don't.
You know? So
they don't know what it's like.
And that is the beauty of a fellowship of believers.
You know, when you find somebody that has the same heart for Jesus that you do, you want to be bonded to them.
Yeah.
You know, you want to hang out. Your little play pistol that has a little rubber stopper that you shoot somebody carefully with on their arm or whatever, that little rubber stopper, and that means I'm walking to you because I've claimed a relationship with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Ooh. Amen. You know, and all of that that we're saying today, it's not far to Jesus. And, you know, Cedric, I'm feeling right now, and then we're going to let's play a little bit of It's Not Far to Jesus, our end song here, just for a moment, maybe halfway through, and then take it down a little bit. And I want to talk over it a little bit, and then I'm going to get back to you, Carol and Nathan. Listen to these words. They're on my heart right now. Dear God, we just thank you for our listeners right now. Let them hear this message in this song and the things that we've been talking about today. It's not far to Jesus. There's no need to suffer like some of our listeners suffer and are so discouraged and defeated today. Lord, let them hear these words, it's not far to Jesus, and they can come out from the things that have pulled them down and held them captive for so long. Lord, we stand against this critical spirit that has invaded churches and homes and workplaces, and we just declare right now in the name of Jesus that people will find Jesus, their true Lord and Savior and healer of their emotions and their past hurts. It's not far to Jesus. It is so not far to Him, because He is right here waiting on you, dear listener, to come and bow your knee in reverence before Him and say, Lord, I need more of You in my life. It's not far. It's not far to Jesus. He's right here. Praise God. Praise God. Nathan, give us a final word here. That song I just looked at it and thought, oh, we just need to do that right then. That's just, people need to know He's right here waiting to listen to us.
I think there are some people out there asking, you know, well, what do I do now?
Right.
What do I do now?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, give your life to Jesus.
Amen.
Your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
Ask Him to come into your life and be Lord of your life.
Right.
And as you ask Him to be Lord of your life, get into His Word and find out what that means. You know, this Matthew chapter 7.
Right.
Some good direction there.
Right. Sure is. But just asking Him to come in and say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. I believe that You died on a cross for my sin. I believe that You came out of a tomb, a resurrected Lord. I believe that You can forgive my sins. That's what it takes. It takes reaching out and saying, I believe all of this, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then going from there, starting that life, getting into a good word teaching church and ministry. Listening to this show every week is a great start. Go to our website. Listen to some of the old shows. They'll teach you the principles of God's Word. Praise God. Did you have anything else to add to that before I get to Carol?
I just thank God for this radio program.
Amen.
I know that it touches lives and it helps change people's hearts.
Amen.
And it draws them to Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Nathan.
All
right. God bless you. Thanks for being on. Carol, give us a final word. We got about a minute and a half.
My final word comes from Psalms 5, 8 through 9. Lead me, O Lord, in Your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight Your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues, they speak deceit. Humans speak deceit if they're not of Christ.
Right.
Christ never speaks deceit.
Right.
Speaks of faith, hope, love, and mercy, and forgiveness. Blessed be His holy name.
Amen. Woo. Thank you, Carol. Great show. You're just always a delight. And send your prayer request to Carol and Pastor Jim by simply writing the email prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can reach me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Now we've got several of our people that you can reach by that same email address. Nathan, you can reach Nathan@bohmglobal.com. Carol@bohmglobal.com. Counseling@bohmglobal.com. So many things there. Go to our website and you'll see all that. So it's been a great day. It's wonderful. If you are in our Tampa Bay area and want to join us for service, we welcome you Wednesday night for Bible study. Begins at 7 and the prayer meeting starts at 6:15. You could, if you're coming late from work, just bring your food because we have tables set up and we sit around tables on Wednesday night. It's a different format than Sunday morning. Sunday morning's regular worship service. Wednesday night is an interactive Bible study. Bring your Bible, bring your notebook, come and join us this Wednesday night. This has been Carol, Nathan, Pastor Marcia from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Check out our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you'll find out everything there is to know about us. So God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week live on this radio program. Have a good week.
There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here to Jesus. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.